Hi there, and welcome to www.dnewman.org. This is the audio podcast version of today's story that you'll find at dnewman.org. It's titled Intelligence Corruption. You may remember yesterday we broke the first part of this series of stories, and it was about corruption in D.C. in the government. The first story was about judicial appointments to federal courts that were stacked by President Obama when he became president, and he continued to do so in both his first and second terms of office, stacking over 300 judgeships with liberal judges, left-leaning judges. That tilted the federal courts in the United States heavily toward the left, and as a result, we're seeing all kinds of interpretations by these judges that lean far, far to the left, far away from where our forefathers expected when they created the judicial system in the U.S. Constitution when they founded our nation. Today we're moving on. We're going to talk about several of the agencies. And we use the term intelligence corruption to tell you what, it's hard to even say that, intelligence corruption. American intelligence agencies, as you know, for decades have been the most effective, most successful, most scandal-free of world intelligence agencies and have, on the most part, kept us here in America safe. But in the last few years especially, Americans are to their horror discovering that the intelligence agencies in the U.S. may not be so successful, may not be so effective, and we all know now they are not the most scandal-free of intelligence agencies across the globe. For Americans, that's an unsettling thought for all of us. Just one more thing about our government for which to be concerned. So we're going to look at a couple of those agencies tonight. For the sake of time, we're going to keep it to the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. Those are the two most common that we hear talked about all the time. Let's start with the Bush CIA. At a time when foreign intelligence information was purposely hidden from Americans. Now, I'm talking about Bush 41, and this is before he was president. Many of you may not remember, but George H.W. Bush was the director of the CIA. Members of Congress knew nothing or very little about operations in the Bush CIA, and he ran an apparent very corrupt CIA, rife with graft and corruption that included funding foreign militias and insurgents in countries around the world. And some of those countries kind of winked at drug smuggling, torture, and murder, and they used that to prop up their quote-unquote worthy causes and even the overthrow of some governments. Think about it. How do you think the Bush family members obtained such close and personal relationships with members of the Saudi royal family that thrive even to this day? Bush protection and promotion of oil markets for the Saudi royals, and of course, quid pro quo. Remember that term. Under Ronald Reagan, it was the Iran-Contra scandal that resulted in very public congressional hearings. Remember, Reagan got caught in telling a little white lie about not knowing anything about gun running and the U.S. involvement for the Iran-Contra affair. And remember Ollie, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. He was convicted in the Contra Rebel scandal that included guns from Iran for the Contra Rebels. Bill Clinton's CIA did give him the opportunity to do away with Osama bin Laden immediately following that first World Trade Center bombing in New York City. But remember, Clinton passed on bin Laden's elimination plan, but the CIA under his watch experienced a horrendous scandal because of the exposure of a double agent. Some of you will remember the name Aldrich Hazen Ames. He's a former CIA officer turned KGB mole. There it is, Russia. Keeps popping up all the time, doesn't it? He was convicted of espionage in 1994. He is still serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole in the Federal Correctional Institution in Terre Haute, Indiana. Ames was formerly a 31-year CIA counterintelligence analyst who committed espionage against the U.S. by spying for the Soviet Union and Russia. At the time of his arrest, Ames had compromised more CIA assets than any other mole in history until Robert Hansen's arrest 7 years later. And it started getting worse at the CIA in the George W. Bush, that's Bush 43 in his White House. For 4 years, according to CIA records, no one from the agency even darkened the door of the Oval Office to give President Bush a full briefing on what was happening in the dark dungeons in Afghanistan and Eastern Europe. For 4 years, interrogators stripped, slammed, and soaked their prisoners without the president's being told exactly what was going on. By the time the CIA director came in April of 06 to give Mr. Bush the agency's first briefing about those interrogation techniques it had been using since 02, that's 4 years after they began, more than three dozen prisoners by that time had already been subjected to them. And when told about one detainee being chained to the ceiling of a cell, clothed in a diaper, and forced to urinate and defecate on himself, even a president known for his dead or alive swagger expressed discomfort, according to a report released later. The CIA repeatedly provided incomplete and inaccurate information to the White House, a Senate Intelligence Committee report concluded. Not only did the agency overstate the effectiveness of the interrogations in obtaining meaningful intelligence that could not be gained elsewhere, the report said, but specific questions posed by White House officials were not answered truthfully or fully. Even to the extent that the president and his advisors understood the program, they kept other top administration figures out of the loop, including some pretty well-known and well-thought-of guys like Colin Powell. Remember General Colin Powell, former chief of the most powerful military agency in the United States, Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld. An internal CIA email from July of 03 said that the White House was extremely concerned Powell would blow a stack if he were to be briefed on what was going on in those interrogation techniques. In the Obama years, the big foreign intelligence occurrence was the dismissal by CIA operatives of Osama bin Laden. A handful of documents, some of which came from bin Laden's house, actually, were released to the public by the Obama White House. That partial release, now it was partial, was not a scandal at all, because those documents contained just a small trove of information. The real scandal now seems to be how Obama and his CIA heads, those were during his 8 years, Leon Panetta, David Petraeus, John Brennan, and acting head Mike Morrell, released only what upheld and affirmed Obama's theories about Iran at the time. Had the U.S. public known about the Iranian leadership's outreach and association with al-Qaeda, remember them? Even Democratic congressmen might have been far less willing to tolerate the trust which Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry placed in their Iranian counterparts. After all, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani was Secretary of the Supreme National Security Council, the coordinating body for Iran's security and defense policy, at a time when Iran was developing its al-Qaeda outreach, and rumor has it, they'd already begun their nuclear program. Mike Pompeo, when named CIA director, released the additional documents previously kept hidden by Obama that revealed the damaging information about Obama and his minions and his plans for foreign policy, specifically in Europe and Asia. Oh, while we're talking about this period of time, let's not forget the Edward Snowden scandal. Snowden today lives in exile in Russia after providing thousands and thousands of classified documents to Julian Assange, who published for all the world to see, and they were full of top secret and classified information. Well, so much for the CIA. Let's segue a little bit ahead and let's talk for a moment about the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Where do we begin? A lot of corruption through the years, and we could go way back into the early 1900s, but let's just mention, getting started, J. Edgar Hoover. Remember, he reported extreme racist activities with his FBI's intense surveillance of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Remember that? He tailed him. Or his hatred for the Kennedy brothers. He hated JFK and his brother Robert. That began just because of their Catholic faith. He didn't like it. For sake of time and space, let's skip through that and start a little further down the road. Richard Nixon. The FBI scandal during Nixon's presidency was not one of the Bureau itself, but was uncovered by the number two man at the FBI, W. Mark Felt. I don't even remember this guy. He smelled a rat in the Nixon campaign and found a young reporter at the Washington Post that he passed that information along to, remember, Bob Woodward? Watergate was birthed thanks to the FBI. So it was kind of a reverse scandal there. In the Reagan days, William Sessions, a former federal judge who took the FBI director job under President Reagan in 87, focused primarily on white-collar crimes. Mr. Sessions, however, violated bureau procedures and federal law by using FBI resources for personal trips and home improvements. Kind of sounds a little bit about like what we're seeing in D.C. today. After an in-depth internal ethics investigation, he sternly resisted 6 months of White House demands for his resignation. But here comes Bill. President Bill Clinton personally telephoned Sessions and fired him in July of 1993. George W. Bush, Bush 43, appointed Robert Mueller. Oh my God, here he is coming back at us. Made him FBI director in July of 01 after being deputy attorney general under Bush. Mueller received unanimous confirmation from the U.S. Senate. His service at the FBI was remarkably without any serious scandals, although, very quietly, after the Boston Marathon bombing, remember that? He admitted that the FBI had received information about potential threats of terrorist violence from the older of those two brothers who activated the bombs. Even back then, the FBI ignored contact from people talking about things that were about to happen. Remember the shooting in Florida? The FBI ignored those calls. Barack Obama retained Mueller's services at the FBI. Amazingly, there were no reported real FBI scandals during those years. Mueller, when resigned as director, gave Obama the strongest of recommendations to hire James Comey. This just gets deeper and deeper. Obama did so. Comey served through the second Obama term and into the first year of the Trump administration. Then the scandal bomb at the FBI exploded, and we all know a little bit about all of that. Let's talk about James Comey. On July 5, 2016, FBI Director Comey announced the Bureau's recommendation that the U.S. Department of Justice file no criminal charges relating to the Hillary Clinton email controversy. During a very unusual 15-minute press conference in the J. Edgar Hoover building, Comey called Secretary Clinton's and her top aides' behavior extremely careless, but concluded that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. On October 28th, less than 2 weeks before the presidential election, Comey, who was a longtime Republican, announced in a letter to Congress that additional emails potentially related to the Clinton email controversy had been found, and the FBI will investigate, quote, to determine whether they contain classified information as well as to assess their importance to our investigation, end quote. At the time Comey sent his letter to Congress, the FBI had still not obtained a warrant to review any of the emails in question, and they weren't aware of the content of any of the emails by that time either. After that letter to Congress from Comey, commentator Paul Callen of CNN and Niall O'Dowd of Irish Central compared Comey to J. Edgar Hoover in attempting to influence and manipulate elections. On November 6th of 2016, in the face of constant pressure from both Republicans and Democrats, Comey conceded in a second letter to Congress that through the FBI's review of the new emails, there was no wrongdoing by Clinton. On November 12th, unsuccessful presidential candidate Hillary Clinton directly attributed her election loss to FBI Director James Comey. To quote many historians, political pundits, and many current and former intelligence officials, quote, we have just scratched the surface of FBI corruption during the Obama administration. On February 2nd this year, 2018, a four-page confidential memo by Republican House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes of California was released after being signed by President Trump. According to the memo, a dossier by Christopher Steele and opposition research firm Fusion GPS was utilized by the Department of Justice and FBI officials for FISA warrants to surveil Trump's campaign member, Carter Page. Additionally, former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, who resigned before the release of the memo, stated that the FISA warrant wouldn't have been obtained without the information in the Steele dossier. All four FISA applications were signed by, remember this, McCabe, Rod Rosenstein, and former FBI Director James Comey. Let's summarize the latest FBI corruption with a summary list of James Comey's lies. One, Comey stated under oath he did not make the exoneration decision for Hillary's transmission of classified information on that server until after she was questioned. Later, it was proven that he wrote the exoneration speech months before she was even interviewed. He'd already made his decision. Number two, Comey released some of his memos to a professor friend for that friend to release them to the media. Comey stated none of the memos' content was classified. That was later confirmed to be untrue. Four of the memos that he released that ultimately went to the media contained classified information. Gotta remind you, that's a felony. Number three, there's the claim Comey made when he issued a statement exonerating Clinton that, quote, no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. That, too, was a lie. As we noted in earlier writings right here at dnewman.org, career agents and attorneys on the case unanimously, not some of them, unanimously believe the Democratic presidential nominee should have been charged. Why did Comey change the whole plan? Number four, Comey testified that he briefed Trump about the salacious dossier before Trump was inaugurated because he'd learned that the media was about to report on it. But it was later proven that Comey briefed Trump for the express purpose of getting its embarrassing content out into the public realm. And here's the way it works. When they have conversations about classified or confidential information, it can't be disseminated until all the folks that are involved in it have heard what's in it. Once they had the meeting, it was legal for Comey to put it out there, since as soon as that meeting was over, guess what? It was leaked to the press. Number five, in a Senate hearing, Comey was asked two questions by Senator Grassley of Iowa. One, did you leak any FBI information to anyone in the press? And did you authorize anyone else to give information to the press? To each, Comey replied, no. He lied under oath. Twice here. He gave his memos to his professor friend to leak to the press, remember that. And Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe stated after he was fired that he, McCabe, was authorized to give information to the media and that he had done so. That was one of those leaks when all that news during the investigation began to come out in the media. McCabe further stated that Comey knew about his doing so and had approved it. Another lie. For the sake of time, I won't detail any additional FBI corruption. Believe me, there's a whole lot more. We're all aware of many more instances than these that I just mentioned, but I'm certain you get the message. The CIA and the FBI have history of corruption. Who pays the price for all of that? We do. The American people and the nation, the structure, the fabric of our country pays the price. For purely political purposes, leadership at both of these agencies have put themselves and that political purpose ahead of doing the right thing, which they committed to do in all circumstances while in office, which is to strictly serve the American people, keep bad people from hurting Americans and the nation. Both of these agencies are literally in the tank. I am not certain they can survive what we've seen in the last 2 years and what's certainly ahead as the current instances of corruption are dealt with. And we hope they're going to be dealt with. Apparently, many more remain hidden still. And no doubt, folks, there's more to come. Regarding more to come, tomorrow we're going to look closely at a few other agency players and corruption there. The NSA, the DNI, the DOJ. Susan Rice, remember her? former Attorneys General Loretta Lynch and Eric Holder, and even former Obama UN Ambassador Samantha Powers. There's a lot of corruption going around. And oh, there's another chapter after we talk about these other agencies and these people. We're going to talk about all of the political corruption in the media. You're going to love that one. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to come in the coming days. Remember this, candidate Donald Trump promised if elected, his job number one was to drain the swamp. It's a mighty big swamp. Got a bunch of bad critters in it too. His work is cut out for him. It's going to wrap it up here at dnuma.org today. You can, of course, every day now, listen to the podcast of that day's story that's posted on the website. If you want to read it, it's there. If you want to listen, it's there. Directly below each story, there's a podcast audio link. All you have to do is click on it. So if you want to grab it, listen to it on the way to work, feel free to do so. Or if you want to read it, or if you want to do both, we're just glad you're joining us. www.dnuman.org. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing or hearing you tomorrow. So long, everybody.